理课堂听 class.com
Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to Advanced, your window on the world. Today we'll take a look at megacities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advanced. We're glad that you've joined us today. Your Chinese New Year vacation is winding down, and now we're going to begin to talk about some more, maybe serious things. But we're glad that you're here and that you can join us as we talk about very, very large cities and how they're changing and how the world is changing. It should be a very interesting discussion. I'm your teacher, Ruth. It's good to be here with you. We'd like to welcome Jason. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing well. It's good to be here. Thanks, Ruth.
And your lovely wife, Michelle.
Hi. It's nice to be here.
So, and you are now living in one of those mega cities, I guess, Taipei?
That's right, yes.
And are you enjoying the city life here?
We are. We are enjoying the city life, all the sounds and all the cars. It's a
all
very busy place.
Really?
Yes.
Good. A foreigner who's not complaining about the traffic. That's good.
No, we moved here from Los Angeles.
Oh, well, now we understand. Yes. And Pam, how are you today?
Hi. I'm great, and it's great to be back with you, Ruth, as we talk about some of these mega cities of the future.
That's right. If you haven't yet, listeners, please open your magazines to page 18, and we'll take a look at our article. We're going to be looking at how the landscape of the world is changing and how cities are becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, and we'll mention some of them. Megacities of the future. You notice this is a reprinted article from a publication called The Futurist. And although this was an older issue of The Futurist, it's still a very important concept, and we're going to see if maybe those predictions back from 2001 really happened or whether changes are happening even faster than they predicted. We start out by talking about the year 2015. That seems like it's going to be a long time in the future, doesn't it?
It does. It's hard to believe that we're already talking about that.
Yes, and I'm sure it'll be here before we know it. So let's read the first part of our article together.
Megacities of the future. By 2030, 60% of the world's population will live in cities. Will they be overwhelmed by this rapid growth? By 2015, megacities, those with over 20 million residents, will include Tokyo, Bombay, India, Lagos, Nigeria, Dhaka, Bangladesh, and Sao Paulo, Brazil. Approaching megacity status will be Karachi, Pakistan, Mexico City, and Shanghai, all of which will be larger than New York City. Almost all population growth over the next three decades will take place in cities that are already struggling. Over 600 million people in cities of developing countries cannot meet their basic needs for shelter, water, food, health, and education, according to a recent report from Johns Hopkins University.
Well, you see in the center of the page there, it says, by the year 2030, 60% of the world's population will live in cities. Wow.
And we know that this is a major change, don't we, Ruth? We know that some decades ago, many people still lived in rural areas. Farming was the way of life for a lot of people in many countries.
That's right. I think we can see that here in Taiwan, in China, in the United States. It was an agricultural society. Mm-hmm. Most people lived out on the farms and raised crops and mm-hmm. food. But now we've seen this migration to the city. And we're asking the questions, will they, meaning the cities, be overwhelmed by this rapid growth? And you see the word overwhelmed down there in our vocabulary focus. It means to be affected by something and not know what to do, just to think, oh my, how do I start? Where do I begin? And the cities might be overwhelmed by all of the people moving in, but we can feel overwhelmed by things at times. Michelle, is there anything that makes you feel overwhelmed?
Yes, I can think of one thing in particular. With my housework, having three young boys, I'm often overwhelmed by my laundry load.
I can just see this big pile there.
Yes,
where do I start?
Yes.
What about you, Jason? Is there anything that overwhelms you?
Definitely. Whenever I travel around the world and I go to a new country and I don't know the language, mm-hmm. many times it's overwhelming to try to figure out how to catch a taxi, how to find the hotel, or to find where I'm supposed to go because I can't speak the language.
Right. You just think, oh, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Where do I start? Mm-hmm. And I think these cities, you know, they can plan ahead. We have a lot of urban planners who try to project how cities are going to grow and how many people are going to move in. And it's happening faster than they imagine. So they are overwhelmed. We go back to the top of the first paragraph there. It says by 2015, megacities, which we define as those over 20 million people, will include many cities around the world. Tokyo, which already has the reputation of being very large. And then we look at Bombay, India, is going to be a huge city. Lagos in Nigeria, Dhaka in Bangladesh, and Sao Paulo in Brazil. They're just going to be overflowing with people. For example, Bombay, India, even right now, has 18 million people. Mm-hmm. Mexico City has 17 million people. Shanghai has 13 million people. All of them are going to be larger than New York. In fact, I think they already are, Pam, right?
Some of them are already larger. If New York City is currently at 7.5 million people, then many of these cities have already surpassed that number.
So perhaps this was a projection or a guess from years ago, and now we're seeing that the growth has happened even faster than they thought it would. These cities are approaching megacity status, meaning approaching the level of being able to join this, I guess, elite group of the megacity. I guess Taipei has got a ways to go.
Right.
And I'm glad. I don't know if I'd like to live in a city of 20 million people. Do you enjoy living in a city, Jason?
I do. This is actually the first time that I've lived in a city where I walk out my front door and there's buses and taxis. So it's very exciting, very fast-paced. But it's also exciting to be around the people, too, all the time. So,
well, we'll ask you that question again in about 6 months.
Okay.
See if you're still enjoying the urban life. So we read on that all the population growth over the next three decades or the next 30 years will take place in cities that are already struggling. Pam, how do you imagine that these cities are struggling? What things would they struggle with?
Well, again, we see the question, will these cities be overwhelmed? Some of the things that you might be overwhelmed by would be problems with traffic, problems with waste disposal. What do you do with all the garbage that is generated or created by millions of people? What do you do about your water system? What do you do about your electric system to supply power to all the millions of residents in your area?
Right. We'd mentioned earlier that cities have plans of how this, of the projected growth. And sometimes when they grow faster than expected, the cities have a hard time keeping up. So they are struggling. They're not finding it easy to meet the demands of all these people, of housing for them, of electricity, gas, transportation, water, many different things. And we read in a report from Johns Hopkins University that says over 600 million people in cities of developing countries cannot meet basic needs. How would you define a developing country, Jason?
I would define a developing country as one that is constantly evolving, and bringing in technology. Many countries that are moving from an agricultural-based society to a more commercial or business-driven society.
Right. Probably a lot of the developing countries are in what we call the third world, where they're seeing this change from agriculture to industrial, and it's happening so quickly that they're having trouble keeping up, and they're having trouble meeting basic needs for what, Michelle?
Water, food, housing, like we've talked about, just they're trying to build so quickly to meet the demands of the people for housing.
And it adds two more there. Health. How do you take care of all these people? And education. Even in my little town in Montana, there's people moving in, and they're having trouble keeping up with the schools. Mm-hmm. They have to keep building new schools for all the children of the families that are moving in. And, of course, when you have to keep adding and improving, that all takes
money.
Right. And maybe if your city has budgeted for 8 million people and all of a sudden you have 12 million people, what do you do? That's why you struggle. Mm-hmm. So this report then has looked at these cities and seen that they're having difficulty meeting these needs. And if the growth continues, they probably still will. It'll be interesting to see what happens by 2015. Let's continue with our article and talk about some of the ways now the cities can invest and improve their infrastructure.
One of the best investments cities can make, both environmental and economic, is in efficient mass transportation systems, the report says. It also can reduce pollution by reducing the demand for private vehicles. The World Health Organization, WHO, estimates that about 700,000 deaths annually could be prevented in urban areas of developing countries if three major pollutants, carbon monoxide, suspended particulate matter, and lead, were brought down to safe levels defined by WHO. Improving water supply systems would also help cities cope. In developing countries, as much as 70% of the water pumped into cities is lost, leaking out of faulty water mains, pipes, and faucets, says the report. Some experts believe that good management and careful planning could allow cities to accommodate the massive population growth predicted. More public transportation, better sanitation, improved water use policies, energy conservation, urban farming, and waste recycling all offer hope.
Well, in the first part of our article, we looked at the problems. Well, now let's see if we can think of maybe some ways that the cities can solve these problems. So we talk about an investment. Usually we think of an investment as money, but you can also invest time in something or energy. It's putting one thing into another, hopefully for a return, a very large return. So what kind of investments can cities make, Pam?
Well, they're saying both environmental and economic. The best investment that these cities could make would be in efficient mass transportation systems.
What is efficient, Michelle?
If I think efficient means something that runs very well, just using the resources that you have and making it operate effectively.
Okay, so getting the most out of your investment.
Right, right.
So something, we talk about something being energy efficient. Mm-hmm. You get the most power from the amount of fuel that you get.
Right.
Can you think of some mass transportation systems? What would they be talking about?
Mass transportation systems would include things like subways or integrated with buses. And mm-hmm. it's really a system that incorporates different methods of transportation that allow people to move around efficiently and effectively.
Right. Like here in Taiwan, we have the MRT. Mm-hmm. You go to other cities around the world, they have subways or light rail systems, and like you said, that are interconnected with bus systems. And the idea is you can move people around in a group instead of everybody driving their private car.
That's right, because we know, Ruth, don't we, that if everyone is driving their own vehicle, that adds to the problem of air pollution and traffic, ground mm-hmm. pollution.
And right. Jason, Michelle, you said you lived in Los Angeles. I'm mm-hmm. sure you saw that problem firsthand.
Yes, we did. It takes a lot of planning to get somewhere on time because of the traffic.
And if you look on the freeways, you see every car has one person
That's
in
right.
it. So if cities can develop these efficient mass transit systems, that will help. And I think efficient here is a clue that they have to run well, they have to run often and mm-hmm. be on time. Otherwise, if people think, oh, I have to wait half an hour for the train, I may as well drive.
Right.
And they also need to be inexpensive, don't they? Because if they create a huge transportation system that costs a lot of money, and usually they do, it still needs to be something that the citizens will believed to be affordable, or they mm-hmm. won't take it every day.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think here in Taiwan, we've seen how the MRT has helped the traffic. Mm-hmm. Michelle, you lived here how many years ago?
We came in 1989.
All right. And this is the first time you've been back since then?
I visited, but not in Taipei, in Taichung, where mm-hmm. they don't have the mass transit system yet. But coming back this time and using the MRT, I've just noticed what a change it's made in traffic and pollution and how efficient it really operates.
That's great. So you could already see how that has affected the city or impacted the city
yes.
in a positive way. So it is very important because it will cut down on the pollution, the number of cars on the road, and it reduces the demand for them. And now we'll talk about an organization called WHO. What does that stand for?
It stands for the World Health Organization. And they estimate in this article, Ruth, that around 700,000 deaths annually per year could be prevented if the urban areas take some means, some measures to prevent the pollutions, the air pollutants.
That's right. So that would mean cutting down on the number of private vehicles on the road, probably making more efficient heating systems, using different kinds of fuels. There's all kinds of things that need to be developed to help cities survive and cut down the pollution. The World Health Organization looks at conditions around the world and makes recommendations or provides information about different aspects of health and how it's impacted by the environment. 700,000 deaths could be prevented if pollution was decreased. I think that would be a worthwhile thing to invest in, don't you?
I agree.
An urban area, we see that's one of our vocabulary words. What does that mean, Jason?
Urban really relates to cities or to a city in general where mm-hmm. Everyone lives in close proximity as opposed to a rural area, which is where it's more agricultural. People are more spread out, so it's more compact.
Right. So we've got those two words, urban, meaning having to do with city, and rural, having to do with the countryside. And the rural areas, unfortunately, there are fewer and fewer of them now. So if WHO makes this recommendation that the countries can reduce these pollutants, they're going to be able to improve the quality of life for people. You notice we had the word pollution there on line 26 in the first column, and here we have the word pollutant, which are the things that make pollution or that cause it. And we list three of them here, Michelle.
Carbon monoxide, suspended particulate matter, and lead are the ones that are listed here.
Okay, that they want to bring down. Mm-hmm. What produces carbon monoxide?
The burning of fuel by vehicles, buses, taxis, airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the from the engines. That's the pollutant that comes from that.
Okay, so if you can cut down the number of private vehicles on the road, then you could be able to reduce the carbon monoxide.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure all our chemistry majors know that that's a C and an O put together. And suspended particulate matter. Whew, that's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see in the little box exactly what that is. Can you read the definition there, Michelle?
Sure. Particles of dust, pollen, etc., which float in the air.
Okay. You notice the word particulate there. Maybe some of you know the noun form of that, the particles.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have little pieces of dust, pollen, things that float in the air that get into your lungs, that irritate them, that cause all kinds of allergies. We have asthma a lot mm-hmm. here in Taiwan, unfortunately, that are caused by these pollutants. So you'd want to try to cut down on those as well. And also lead.
Lead is the third. And, of course, we know that lead is found, unfortunately, in a lot of pipes. It's found in metal, of course. But, unfortunately, you do find it in a lot of older cities within the pipes that water runs through,
mm-hmm.
the drinking water or water that comes into your house. So, unfortunately, in the past, there have been a lot of deaths of children because of lead poisoning. And so WHO is saying that if cities can work to bring these elements down to safe levels, they believe that around 700,000 deaths could be prevented.
And that would be a great thing. Cut down on the amount of things that are floating around in the air and just the pollutants that we have in our water and our land. And safe levels, you know, you wonder how safe those levels really
mm-hmm.
are, but they're definitely better than what we have now. So this is mainly talking about the air, what we can do to improve the air quality in the cities. And then we move on to talk about the water supply systems. A lot of times, you know, we take our cities for granted. You turn on the faucet, the water comes out. You flip on the lights, the electricity's there. We don't think about the problem of supplying all of that to each person in the city. And it mentions here that there's a problem with the water supply in a lot of the cities. And what is that problem?
The problem is that as much as 70% of the water that's supposed to come in ends up going through the pipes but leaks out, so it never actually makes it all the way to the person that turned the water on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of waste that occurs.
70%. That's a lot
that's
of
the
water.
That's the majority, right.
Mm-hmm. And I know I've seen programs on TV in the United States where they've looked at the infrastructure of New York City, and they've mentioned problems like that. The you know, those huge water pipes that run underneath the streets, they're old. It's, you know, it's going to take a huge effort to have to dig them up and repair them. I'm sure Los Angeles is looking at some mm-hmm. of those infrastructure problems as well. So there is, it says here in our article that 70% then is lost because it leaks out of faulty water mains. When something is faulty, what does that mean?
It means it's not properly handling the job that it's supposed to do. There's something wrong with it. It's either old or there's holes the water leaks out of. It's not doing its job.
It's not working the way
it should. Right.
And what about a water main?
A water main is usually a main source of where the water is coming from. So many times water will go through a main pipe, but then it branches off to or goes separate ways to different uses, whether it's mm-hmm. someone's home or apartment or it's to a factory, something
okay.
like that.
So actually main here then just means the central largest pipe of the system that's coming from the water source.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that all of the smaller ones branch off. So The problem is that there are leaks not only in the water main but in the pipes that branch off from that, and even the faucets are in your house. I'm sure we've all have faucets that go drip,
mm-hmm.
drip,
that's right.
drip, and that wastes water as well.
That's right, Ruth. So the problem begins at the main source, runs all the way underground, and then all the way into the homes, right? You see these faulty mains, the pipes, and
mm-hmm.
the faucets all having some types of problems.
So I'm sure the cities know the problems. It's what can you do to fix them, because it takes
money.
Mm-hmm. So experts are thinking that good management and careful planning can allow cities to accommodate the people to change their systems, to upgrade them, because there is going to be a massive population growth, and we're even seeing that now. It's huge, even more than expected. So we list here at the end of the article some of the things then that they need to plan for.
Better transportation, sanitation.
And what is that?
It's protecting the public health by treating the water, removing the waste, the pollutants from the water to protect the public.
Mm-hmm. Gathering up the garbage, mm-hmm. taking it out. Do you ever wonder where all the garbage goes from the cities? I do sometimes. I'll go outside in Taipei and I'll see the garbage trucks picking up the trash. And I thought, okay, this is happening on my block and every block in this area, in every area of the city. Where does it go? So that's a reason we are getting into recycling here,
right.
so we can reduce
yes.
that. So they can improve the transportation, the sanitation. What else, Jason?
Another thing that they're trying to do is improve water use.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed efficiency, so making sure that water is used efficiently, energy conservation, electricity, gas,
mm-hmm.
things of that nature, and urban farming and waste recycling.
Okay. Urban farming maybe would be taking small areas of the city and tilling them up and planting crops. So you might walk around the city and see a little corn patch or
mm-hmm.
a bunch of wheat or something, using the land well. And we were talking before the program, Michelle, about parks.
Right.
And green areas, and that would probably help to clean the areas, the air as well.
Right, and would be enjoyed by everyone just to see the green amongst the buildings.
So maybe if we can have a little few farm plots too, that would be good. And waste recycling. All of these things offer hope, but you have to do them, and that's the key. And again, as we've said so many times before, those kinds of things, they all take money. And if you've got all these poor people moving into the city who can't afford to pay the taxes that are needed to be able to develop the infrastructure, what do you do?
And I think, Ruth, here, two of the key words are careful planning. The Futurist article magazine is known for making these projections, and we hope then cities are encouraged to start early with their planning for these explosions that may occur of people populations within their area.
So we see there are many challenges that the cities need to meet, and we'll be watching over the next few years how they develop. Well, let's take some time right now to review our article in a little review feature, so please enjoy.
Wow! Can you believe 60% of the world's population will soon live in cities?
Yeah, it wasn't long ago that 60% of the population lived in the country. Times sure are changing.
You know, Mac, I really love the fresh air and the wide open spaces of the country. How could anyone want to move to the city?
Well, Jack, maybe it's the excitement of the big city. I mean, in a city, you can do just about anything at any time.
And the pollution. Oh, the air and water quality are downright deadly.
Well, pollution is a big problem, but there are scientists and engineers working to solve these problems. In fact, in many cities, the air and water quality has improved dramatically.
Well, what about the noise? Never any peace and quiet. If it's not the traffic, it's the construction or the jets taking off and landing.
Some people like that, Jack. It makes them feel like they're in the middle of the action.
I just don't get it. There's no reason why anyone should want to move to the city.
Basically, Jack, I think it's just that people want a better life.
Well, I think they're looking in the wrong place. The country is the only place anybody's going to find the good life.
Hold on a second, Jack. Think of all the jobs and opportunities for education you can find in the city that you can't find in the country.
Yeah, well, that may be true, but there'll always be one thing you'll find in the country that you'll never find in the city.
What's that, Jack?
Me!
Well, I think we have the country boy and the city boy having
right.
A little argument there. Which is better, to live in the country or live in the city? In fact, that might be a good thing for you to discuss with some of your friends or colleagues. Which is better and why is it better? There are many advantages of both. And as long as you look at the advantages and aren't overwhelmed by the problems, that's going to be the challenge. Well, we're glad you joined us today for our article. We hope you can use some of the vocabulary words that you've learned. Tell someone what you learned about megacities today in advance. And we'll see you next time. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Goodbye.